Well, we are in the series Breakout, as you know, and Pastor Jeff kicked it off last week, and I just want to take a moment just to thank Pastors Jeff and Beth for the opportunity to be here today, to be able to share with you guys, and how many love our pastors? Man, we have incredible pastors, and to be able to have the privilege to be here today, I really count it as an honor and a privilege. And so today, we are going to be talking about, again, Breakout. And the title for today's message is, What Are You Saying? What are you saying? And so as we begin, let me just say a word of prayer, and then we will dive right in. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here today. We thank you, Lord, that as we come together today, Lord God, and we magnify and glorify you, you'll draw each and every one of us closer to you. And so, Lord, as you've already done that in our service today, I thank you that you help each and every one of us open up our hearts and our minds to receive a word from you today. I pray that as I speak, Lord God, I'm not speaking the words that come from me, but the words that come straight from you. And so, Father, because of that, we can have an expectation that what we hear today will change our lives today, tomorrow, this year, and the years ahead. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody who agreed said, amen. Amen. All right, so we are expecting a breakout year this year. Amen? All right, so I believe that having a breakout year has a lot to do with what is in our mouth, what we say. What do you see for 2019? That's what I want to ask you today. What do you see for 2019? And you might already know the answer to that. But if you don't know the answer to that, I just want to encourage you to seek the Lord. What does He want you to see for your life in 2019? And as we talk about some things today, I believe that when we know what we are expecting from God, then what we say is what's going to bring it to pass. Amen? All right, so how do I illustrate that? If you can see in your mind in faith for what is to come, and then you can line up the words that you say towards what you're believing, I believe you'll no longer just see it in the by faith, but you will see it in the natural. Okay, the way to say that, if you say what you see in faith, you will see in the natural what you say. If you say what you see, you'll see what you say. All right, so how does that work? Well, it starts with understanding the power of God's word. And so to help us understand the power of God's word, I'm going to take you back to the very beginning, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. I know it's going to find a long time for you guys to find that, but it's at the very beginning of your Bible, all right? Genesis 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and empty. And darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the water. Okay, we're talking about the power of God's spoken word. All right, so far we see that the earth is described at this moment as formless. There's no form to the earth. It's empty. It's full of darkness and it's covered by deep waters. But then something changed. Beginning in verse 3, all the way through the rest of the chapter 1 of Genesis, we see the impact of God's spoken word to form the earth that we know today. I'm not going to read all 30 verses, but I want to highlight them for us so we get an understanding of the power of God's word. Then God said, let there be light, and light was created. Then God said, let there be sky, and sky was formed. God said, let there be land and seas were formed. God said, let there be vegetation formed. God said, let there be the sun and the moon and the stars, and the sun and the moon and the stars were created. Then God said, let there be waters with fish and skies with birds, and of course, fish and birds were formed. And then He said, let there be animals and livestock on the earth. And animals and livestock were formed. And then He said, let us make human beings in our image. And guess what? God created human beings. God created you and I. He formed life by what? By His spoken word. You know what's cool? You know this right here? This is God's spoken word. The Bible is God's spoken word. And I can tell you it doesn't end at the end of Genesis chapter 1. It goes from Genesis chapter 1 all the way to Revelation 22. From the very beginning to the end and everywhere in between, the power of God's spoken word is made available to you and I through his word. So if you got a Bible in your hand, you know that you have the power to shape your life. You have the power to bring life to things that are dead. Everything from the beginning to the end of God's word is in your hands. But what do we need to do? We need to know what God's word says. We need to know. Because the Bible says that in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and powerful. The word of God is living and powerful. We see that demonstrated in Genesis 1, but again, it doesn't end there. The entire word of God is living and it's powerful in your life. We say this a lot here as one of our codes. It's the Bible is our plumb line. Why is that? Because it's living and it's powerful. Everything in it is God's truth, and we can live our lives by it, and we can truly have life more abundantly because of the power of God's word. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, I can tell you, the death and life are in the power of our tongue is what it's saying. Because I can tell you, the tongue of God, it's always life. But we have a choice on whether or not we line up the words that come out of our mouth with what God is saying, which is always life. Everything in here is life. Or lining it up with something that's contrary to what God's word says. So here's what I want you guys to hear through this whole message today. When we know God's word, when we believe God's word, and then when we speak God's word, it will release power in you to have a breakout year and a breakout life. Amen? All right, so how do we do this? When we speak in alignment with God's word, I want to talk about today two specific things that happen. The first one is that we release power to rebuke the storm. The second is that we release power to stay the course. Rebuke the storm and stay the course. So the power to rebuke the storm. Now, if you came here today and you said, hey, I heard about this series Breakout and I'm just coming to find out how do I avoid the storms of life? How do I kind of detour around all of the obstacles that I run across in life? Well, on one hand, I'd say you came to the wrong place, but I can say you're never going to find a place if they're speaking the truth that says that. So I believe you've come to the right place to hear how do you face those storms? How do you overcome those storms? How do you rebuke those storms? Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 35. When we know and believe and speak God's word, we are empowered to rebuke the storms in our lives. So we see that example here in Mark chapter 4, verse 35. It says, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. All right, so I want you to notice for just a moment what Jesus said. He said, let's cross to the other side of the lake. I'm going to keep reading on, but we're going to come back to that. I just want to make a note of it. So verse 37, but soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? All right, so picture this. Jesus says, hey, guys, let's go cross the lake to the other side. Awesome. How do we do that? Well, we get in a boat. So we jump in a boat. We start to travel across and then head to the other side. What happens? In the middle of the lake, in the middle of the sea, a storm starts to roll in. All of a sudden, this storm's rolling in, but it's not just a storm. It's described as a fierce storm. Now, we know that it was a fierce storm because it said it, but it also describes what was happening to the boat. It says that the high waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. All right, so I don't spend a lot of time on the ocean. I don't spend a ton of time in deep waters. I have a little tiny fishing boat, and I catch some fish. But I don't have to be an experienced fisherman to know that if water is pouring into my boat, and it's coming in farther than I can get it out, in a deep waters, how many know it's not a good thing, right? So they're facing a storm that's having an impact on whether or not they're going to live. In their minds, they're terrified. They're freaking out. They're full of fear. And all of a sudden, what do they notice? They notice Jesus is sleeping in the back of the boat. Jesus is sleeping. Not only is he sleeping, he is cuddled up on a cushion, probably a Posturepedic mattress, whatever it is. And so they're sitting here bailing water. We're about to die, and Jesus is sleeping. So what do? They wake him up. Jesus wakes up. They're shouting at him. He says, why don't you care that we're going to drown? They didn't even say, don't you care that we might drown? He said, don't you even care that we're going to drown? Jesus woke up, verse 39. He rebuked the wind, said to the waves, silence, be still. Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? The disciples were absolutely terrified. Who is this man? They asked each other. Even the wind and the waves obey him. So we see all of that happening. They're about to die. They wake up Jesus. Jesus gets up, calms the storm, you know, and they don't say, oh, thank you, Jesus. And then Jesus responds with, you're welcome. He says to them, why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? I believe the reason why Jesus said that is because of what we talked about back in verse 35. When Jesus said, let's cross over to the other side of the lake. When Jesus speaks to you, when God speaks to you and he tells you something that we're going to do together, you need to hook up your faith and believe that God is going to get you to the other side. Okay? You need to rise up and say, wait a minute. God said, I'm going to the other side of the lake. So I don't care what storm's coming against me. I don't care what stands in my way. Things that I knew were coming. Even the things I didn't even know were coming. No matter what it is, God said, let's go to the other side. So be reminded of what God told you. Don't ever forget it, even when the storm comes your way. I believe that God said that to them because he said, you never needed to wake me up. If you would have just remembered what I said, we're going to the other side, you could have used your voice. You could have said what I told you, and you would have gotten us to the other side of the lake, and I could have got a little bit more rest before I do some more ministry. All right? Okay, but it wasn't about the fact that Jesus had to do that. It was about the fact that they did not do it. They did not do it. So, what is God speaking to you? What is God telling you for 2019? And what do you need to be prepared to stand in faith for when the storm comes your way? Sometimes you and I struggle, I know sometimes, maybe you do too, with the desires that are in my heart and having confidence to know that those are desires from God. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm like, well, it's almost so good. It's like, is that selfish? Whatever it might be. Okay, but you know what? I believe that Psalm 37:3-5 will encourage you in this today because it encourages me, and it's been something that's been encouraging me for quite some time. Psalm 37, verses 3 to 5. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and the result of that, he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, I believe as I read that, that it starts out with asking ourselves, do we trust God? Do we trust God? Then it asks us, are we feeding on his faithfulness? Are you being reminded of how faithful God has been in your past? Are you dwelling on those things? Are you meditating? God, you've been so faithful. I remember that situation you were faithful in, that situation you were faithful in, and allowing it to feed you, nourish you, and strengthen you for what's ahead. Goes on to say, delight yourself in the Lord. And when you do those things that I believe this verse is talking about, then God will put in your heart desires that come from him. And so you can be confident when you do those things, the desires that rise up from your heart are from the Lord. And then what do you do with it? Verse 5, commit your way to the Lord, meaning commit your steps to the Lord. Follow after him. And then it says, as you trust in him also, he will bring those desires to pass. Amen. So be confident that the desires God is putting in your heart are there. Now again, if you're not following those things, you're doing your own thing in life, you're not spending time with the Lord, not seeking Him, and don't have a heart to follow after Him, then this verse isn't going to work. That's where you got to start with. But for those of us here today that are endeavoring every day to follow after the Lord, you can trust that those desires are from the Lord. Amen. All right. I love what it says in Ephesians 3:20. This is in the Passion Translation. It says, never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all of this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for His miraculous power constantly energizes you. Man, that's so rich, isn't it? It constantly energizes you. So going back to the story of them going to the other side of the lake, you know what happened when they got to the other side? Immediately, this man came up who was possessed by a demon. The devil was controlling his life, and Jesus set him free. God's healing power went to work right away when he got to the other side. Now, I don't know if this is true or not, but part of me believes that if the disciples had trusted God in that storm going through, that they would have been able to speak to that man and heal him, okay? I don't know, but I do know that God knows that when we exercise our faith, when we stand in our faith, it empowers us to do things that seem impossible in our lives. So what are we talking about? We're talking about knowing God's word. We're talking about hearing from the Lord, believing what He tells us through His word, speaking consistently with what God's saying, and it will release power for us to overcome the storms. Second thing is the power to stay the course. The power to stay the course. All right, we need power to face storms in our lives, but you know what? We also need power to continue to stay the course. We need to be empowered by God's word to stay the course when He's leading us and guiding us to things in our future. Sometimes we face those temptations to jump off track. We face those temptations to settle for less than what God wants us to experience in life. And I believe that for each and every one of us, when we tap into God's promises, we release that in us, we speak those things over us, it will help us to face those temptations to get off track. So one example of that, of course, is Jesus Himself. We know that Jesus was sent to this earth by His Heavenly Father to fulfill a purpose. Right? We talked about the blood of Jesus and the power of what God and Jesus Christ did on the cross. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins for us. And so for us to see and look at Jesus as an example, we know that if Jesus did not fulfill the purpose for why He was sent here, none of us would have the opportunity to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and that promise of eternal life in Him. So that was the greatest purpose for which somebody was sent to the earth to fulfill. But I got good news for you. There's a purpose and a plan for why God sent you on this earth as well. He wants you to do some things in your life that will bless you, but that will minister to other people, share God's love, share God's forgiveness, and have an impact in the world around you. And how many know that deep down inside, we all have a desire to make a difference in this world in some way or another? But God wants you to raise that desire up to such a level that you can accomplish the impossible when you trust in Him. John 3:17 said, God sent His Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through Him. That was His purpose. But in pursuing the things God has for us, when we try to pursue the course or the pathway that God is sending us down, how many know that we have an enemy to our faith? John 10:10 says that the thief, that's Satan, does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I, Jesus said, have come that you may have life and that you have it more abundantly. Anything that Satan tries to get you to do is always an attempt to steal something from you, kill something in you, or destroy something for you. And Satan knows that God has a plan for you too. Whatever it is you're believing God for 2019 or what you're believing for Him beyond that, whatever it is, God's given you a plan and a purpose and a desire in your heart to fulfill, and the enemy knows there's something in you that God wants to do. And I got good news for you today. I got a lot of good news today. Amen? You share the good news of Jesus Christ, man. You are full of good news in everything you say, right? All right. So here's the good news. As we look at Jesus, before he went into ministry, he was faced by the devil with temptation. And I believe those temptations were an attempt by the enemy to veer Jesus off the pathway that God had for him to come to the earth. You know, if you look in Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 1 and 11 in a minute. Before that moment, that point, Jesus was, Matthew chapter 2 talks about Jesus being born. He grew as a, you know, teenager in wisdom and maturity. And in chapter 3 is when we're introduced to John the Baptist, whose role was to pave the way for Jesus Christ. At the end of chapter 3 is when Jesus is baptized by John the Baptist. All right? And so all of that was preparing Jesus to go do the ministry and ultimately fulfill the call in his life to go to the cross, to die on the cross for you and I, and be risen again after that. All of that was to prepare him for that. And so just before he goes into ministry, Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. During that time the devil came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread.'" All right, so picture this. Jesus is, he was sent to the wilderness. He was fasting for 40 days. You guys know what fasting means. It means he's not eating anything. All right? He's sacrificing the nourishment in his physical body for spending time with God. And just meditating on God and spending time with him. And in the midst of that, the devil comes up to him and says, "Why don't you turn those stones into bread?" Why? Because he was hungry. Because he was hungry. He came with a temptation to get Jesus off of his path that he needed to be on to fulfill his purpose. And what is Jesus' response? Jesus told him, "No." And here's what I want us to catch in every one of these responses from Jesus. He says, "The scriptures say." What's the scriptures? That's the word of God. Jesus needed power to withstand the temptations of the devil. He did not try to just do this on his own, because at this point, he was a human. He gave away his divinity, his heavenly power. He released that, and he's exercising his faith in God's word and power of God's word to withstand the devil's temptation. It says, "The scripture says, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Jesus refused to settle for a temporary satisfaction, and he did it by speaking the word. I believe he spoke the word for a couple reasons. Number one, to rebuke Satan. And number two, to remind Satan of what God said. And a third one is to remind himself of God, what God said. We can literally live by every word that comes from God's mouth. Not just what he says to us in our prayer time, but primarily through what God says in his word. Verse 5, "Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple and said, 'If you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say, he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone.'" Now, I don't know if this was where this expression came from, but did your parents ever tell you don't jump off a cliff just because your friends jump off a cliff? So, I don't know. That's just a bonus right there. So, it just kind of struck me as I was sharing. Just, go jump off. No. Okay. So, Satan tries to tempt Jesus to test God. That's the point of this. Satan tries to tempt Jesus to test God. You know, when we test God, especially on things that he's not telling us to do, when we test God, it shows that we doubt God. When we doubt God, it shows that we don't trust God. You don't need to be testing God to say, "Okay, you said you do this, and there's no purpose for it, but I'm just going to do it to see what happens." Okay? The point is, just focus on God's word. Do what he says, and he will be faithful to his word to perform it. And you can build your life on his faithfulness and feed on his faithfulness. Okay, what is Jesus' response? Again, he says, "The scripture also says, you must not test the Lord your God." He speaks the word to combat that temptation. We need to know God's voice in our lives. We need to have a relationship with God where we're growing and hearing his voice and familiar with his voice. We need to be able to discern the difference between when the enemy's trying to tell us something our selfish nature is trying to tell us something versus when God is trying to tell us something. And I believe God's patient with us, but we have to have a desire to seek after him to know that. And when we seek after him, spending time in his word, it empowers us to speak his word and change our lives and our circumstances. Verse 8, next the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. I will give it all to you, he said, if you will kneel down and worship you. Once again, Satan tempts Jesus, in this case, to try to get him to worship and serve him by offering Jesus power, right? That was the temptation. Serving anyone but God, I believe it blinds us from seeing good plans that God has for us. If we're serving others, serving ourselves, serving the enemy, okay, we don't obviously typically do that intentionally, but we're for serving money, serving success, serving prestige, seeking after those things above all else, it blinds us from being able to hear what God's saying to us. Okay, it's not just going to happen. God's just going to show you things on a regular basis. If you just choose by faith to say, I'm going to put God first above all else, he will align all of those things for you because you're putting him first. You'll hear from him. You'll know from him what you are to do. All right, verse 10. Is that where we're at? Verse 10. His response, he says, get out of here, Satan. Jesus told him, for the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil went away and angels came and took care of Jesus. The Bible says that when we resist the devil, he must flee from us. Okay? But you know what? Sometimes we're just not even resisting. Okay? Let's choose to resist the devil and he will flee from us. When we're speaking God's word, it cripples Satan and it empowers us. How many want to cripple Satan in his attempts to try to steal, kill, and destroy things from you? When you're speaking God's word, it cripples the enemy. You can clap for that. That's the word, okay? All right. All right. So what's the point of all this? We got to know it, okay? I keep saying that over and again, but you got to know God's word. You got to believe what God's word says. You've got to speak what God's word says, and it will release power in you to overcome these temptations to get off course in your life. All right, so we're going to wrap up here with just a verse that I want to share and then just some action items I want to encourage you to take. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, we have the same spirit of faith that is described in the scriptures when it says, first I believe, then I spoke. So we also first believe and then speak in faith. So we talk about what are you saying? What are the words that are coming out of your mouth? But you know, the power in what you say comes from what you're saying, consistent with the word, and believing what you're saying. Choosing to believe what you say. We believe, therefore we speak. So get in line with what God's word says. Speak those things out of your mouth. And I know that's the desire for all of us. Almost all of us here, I'm sure, our desire is to speak God's word. But you know what? You got to get hungry for God's word. And get hungry and thirsty because God wants to reveal some things for you to confess over your life. And, you know, if they're just confessing, you don't know where it comes from. You've just heard it because somebody was saying it that you respected, or some person who's successful in life is saying some things. There's a lot of slogans out there. There's a lot of posts on a regular basis of great quotes and all those things, okay? You know, there's nothing in themselves that's bad about that. But, man, what are you quoting most? What are you filling your mouth with the most? What are you putting first in your mouth? Put God's word first in your mouth. It will build your faith. So if you're not believing at the beginning, just keep doing it because it'll build your faith. But man, once the faith kicks in and you keep saying that, then mountains will be moved. The world was formed because of God's word, and your life can be formed because of God's word in you. Amen? All right, so what are some action items? This is all good stuff. It's God's word speaking to us, but what do we do with it? So here's just some action items I want to encourage you. They're going to put them up on the screen. The first thing is to just write down your breakout. We're talking about breakout, and we can come here each and every week and just say, yeah, I'm just, breakout year, but what is it for you? This is a breakout for you personally. Write it down. Number two, read God's word daily. Spend time in God's word, getting to know what his word says. Number three, write scriptures. Scriptures for what? Well, based on what we talked about today, write scriptures that are in line with rebuking storms that you might be facing. So maybe you're in the middle of a storm right now. Maybe you got an obstacle or a mountain in your way. Find scriptures that you can stand on to rebuke those mountains and rebuke those storms in your life. But also scriptures that are going to declare the things that you're believing God for your breakout. Find scriptures for that. Then, with your mouth, rebuke and declare those scriptures to your storms and for your breakout. That was number four, is to speak it. Number five is then just be expecting. Expect what? Expect to overcome those storms. Expect those storms to be calmed. And expect your breakout. Write it down. Get in God's word. Write down the scriptures. Rebuke and declare what God's promises are for those things. And then expect God's power to be released. It's the same power that formed the earth that's in your mouth when you speak it. And it will form your expectations to come to pass in the natural. Amen? All right. So last thing I want to do is ask everybody to stand up. And I'm going to declare some things that are from God's word. And it's not about me saying it to you. In this case, I know Pastor Jeff on a regular basis declares some things over us. In his role and his position as pastor, he can declare some things over us that we can receive. But I want to get us exercising to declare some things for ourselves out of our own mouth. And so as I share these things, if you're comfortable, I just want you to repeat them. And as you repeat them, be confident that this is the word of God and his power being released in you for these things to be true in your life. Amen? So say this with me. Say, I am treasured by God. I am loved by God. I am blessed by God. I am favored by God. I am valued by God. I am more than a conqueror. I am above and not beneath. I am the head and not the tail. And I am victorious through Christ. Amen. Can we give the Lord a shout this morning?